Well, it seems like a long time since we opened the season with Buffalo. I guess that's because it was. But, you know, I was really impressed with, you know, the way we've been playing, obviously, that we played last week against Miami. Good football team. Explosive offensively. You know, second leading team on the ground in the league. Doing a good job. Getting a lot of explosive players, you know about Spiller and Stevie Johnson, you know, those guys, Chandler, a good complimentary group. Defensively, you know, very, very strong unit up front. A lot of disruptive players, rush a passer, turn the ball over. You know, second in the league in interceptions, first in the league in sacks. So, you know, it's a very, been a high productive, highly productive group. Played well, obviously, they know our division well. From, you know, Mike being down there with the Jets and all that. Played well in the division, lost to us on the last play, lost to the Jets on the last possession. You know, won three games in the division. So, you know, I think it's a good football team that's played hard, that's playing well, and they're tough. They're well coached. I think Doug's done a really good job with them fundamentally. You know, they don't make a lot of mistakes. You got to go out there and beat them. When you make mistakes, they take advantage of them. So we can't afford to make too many.
Having seen them in week one and now seeing them at the end of the season, obviously so much changes for every team. What stands out to you for them as some of their most significant changes?
Well, I think the big thing for them has really been just the whole quarterback situation. You know, they've had transition at that position multiple times. But I think their offensive line has played well. You know, they've got Ligurski back around the, I don't know, fourth, fifth week of the season, somewhere in there. That group's had a lot of continuity and consistency, I'd say, relative to in the past. I mean, they've been pretty... Other than the quarterback position, pretty healthy, I would say, offensively and defensively. You know, of course, they lost Carrington, but they've, you know, they've got a very disruptive front. I mean, Hughes is playing, you know, great for him. Darius, Kyle Williams, Mario Williams, and Alonzo's had a good year for him. And they've gotten back, you know, two significant players in the secondary that we didn't see in Gilmore and Jarius Byrd. So, you know, Aaron Williams has done a nice job for him. He's had to go out and play some corner earlier in the year, but. Once they got to about that mid-season spot, I don't know, New Orleans game in there, seventh, eighth week, whatever it was, when they got Gilmore back, they got Byrd back, you know, I think that really solidified their secondary, and they're able to play Aaron, play Williams in there at strong safety with Byrd, and, you know, that's been a good combination for them, even though Leonard and Searcy have come in there and, you know, given them good snaps as well. You know, certainly a, you know, a big surprise. You know, it's been the, you know, the nickel corner, Roby. I mean, he's done a real good job for him. Kind of came out of nowhere and, you know, had a good preseason. He's played all year there. You know, guy had two sacks last week. And so, you know, an explosive player off the edge. That's, you know, he's played well for him too. So they're young in the kicking game. Got a lot of young guys, but they're aggressive. They're fast. They're athletic. So, I mean, I think things have come together for him all the way around, to tell you the truth, in all three areas of the game. I'm sure they'd like to have more continuity at quarterback. You know, I'm sure, you know, they've had to, you know, juggle a couple situations there even at the beginning of the season. So, you know, here we are at the end of the season. Not sure that that's 100% set for them. But other than that, they've been pretty, you know, they've gotten guys back and they've gotten pretty consistent.
In terms of the two quarterbacks, Manuel and Lewis, I mean, skill set wise, are they pretty similar in terms of?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously Manuel's a lot taller and lankier, and Lewis is a little more compact. But I mean, they both have good run skills. I mean, both smart, both dangerous in the pocket and out of the pocket. I mean, Lewis has been impressive. You know, with not a lot of time in the system, but he's, you know, he's played well. He's efficient. I mean, he's a smart guy. You know, makes good decisions. So. Yeah, we certainly have to do a good job with them in the running game and in terms of, you know, scrambling. I mean, I wouldn't put them in Cam Newton's category yet, but that type of, you know, element to the offense.
Bill, you just talked about Roby. Yesterday we were talking about maybe Logan, you know, maybe strong in a bunch of areas, maybe the 40 time at the combine pushes him back a couple rounds. For Roby, is there maybe one area like his size? Would that be something that maybe...
I'm sure, yeah, no, I'm sure his size, you know. I mean, if he was 5'11", 195 pounds, I don't think he probably would have gone undrafted. But you know, I mean, we've seen guys like that. you know, similar to Trufant with the Jets. I mean, Trufant's probably a little faster, but, you know, but that kind of, you know. But he's a tough kid. I mean, you see him in the running game. He can, you know, weave his way through blockers, and he's aggressive. He's, you know, an aggressive tackler. So he's, you know, I mean, for a guy that's really kind of come out of nowhere and, you know, had a good preseason, really kind of beat out, you know, in the end, Rodgers, you know, as the star. I mean, they were playing Rodgers a little bit outside because of the injuries, but I think Rodgers was, you know, it's probably the reason they released him is because they felt better about Roby. And McKelvin's had a good year for him, and they got Gilmore back, you know, and they have Brooks out there. So I think they were probably planning on playing Rodgers inside, and Roby just, you know, kind of came through for him.
You mentioned the first in sacks. Obviously, Mike Pett maybe is known for, you know, pressure schemes, things like that. But they also, you know, they have personnel, and I think probably whatever scheme you put them in, they'd probably be able to generate pressure. So given the personnel, the scheme, maybe the fact that they're, some of they're getting pressure from all three levels. You mentioned Roby, two sacks last week, one the week before. Maybe one of the more, you guys have faced a ton of good rushers this week, this season, obviously, but it's one of the more unique challenges based on sort of all the factors involved.
Yeah, they definitely, you know, keep you honest because they'll bring different guys, but it's not all pressure. I mean, they get a lot of pressure without bringing anybody, just letting those guys rush, and they have good depth up there. You know, they kind of roll six guys through. They're all pretty good. They're all productive. So, you know, you got to be able to block the, you know, the four guys, and then they have more guys in coverage, and they play a lot of different combinations of coverage and some, you know, man, zone, combination man. And then they'll bring five and sometimes six and sometimes they'll bring seven or, you know, key blitz, you know, peel and stuff like that. So, you know, they give you the overloads. I mean, you know, all the things that we've seen from the Jets, they have those in their system and they mix them in there along with their just regular four-man rush coverages. So they do a good job mixing it up. You know, you just can't say, well, they're going to blitz us every play. They're not going to do that. But you can't say they're not going to blitz either because they do. So you've got to, you know, get Keyshawn honest. And I think that's why they're having a lot of success. And they're also having a lot of success with the coverage end of it. You know, quarterbacks can't hold the ball. And, you know, Williams and obviously Bird in particular are getting a good jump and they're anticipating things and, you know, making plays. Leonard, you know, has four interceptions. He doesn't really even play that much. Or, you know, he played early in the year and they played last week against Miami. But, you know, he hasn't played all that much in the last couple months. But just saying, you see a lot of guys getting their hands on the ball.
What kind of an impression has Alonzo made on you watching him play?
Good. He's done a good job for him. He's a fast guy. You know, he's got good size. I mean, he's, you know, 245-ish, something like that. But, you know, runs well, makes a lot of plays on the sideline. He's done a decent job for him in coverage. I mean, for a rookie playing that spot where you're, you know, you're kind of, you know, in the middle of the storm on every play. I mean, there's no, you're the middle linebacker, there's no plays off. I mean, it's not like they, you know, not like any play you're not, you know, main factor in the play on. But he's done a good job for him. He's been durable. He's been tough. You know, he's a good tackler. And, again, he has good speed, good range, makes a lot of plays to the sideline, makes some plays in coverage. You know, he's been a productive tackler. And, again, he's got good guys playing in front of him, too. So, you know, sometimes they eat up some blocks and give him some good opportunities. He's taking advantage of those. He's done a good job.
Seems like speed on offense is a big, you know, thing for them, whether – Spiller, you know, some of the young guys have been hurting the outside, but Graham, Goodwin, they've all got it. I don't know if, you know, they've been sort of shuffling in and out of the lineup this year, but I think speed is something either they've targeted or they just seem to have anyways, or maybe a staple of their offense that they want to build around going forward.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they, like when they drafted Goodwin, I'm sure that was part of it. You know, Spiller was already there, but I think they have a good complement. You know, Steve, Fred Jackson's a very powerful back. He breaks a lot of tackles. He's, you know, a tough runner. Stevie Johnson's very quick, you know, good with the ball in his hands. You know, Woods has been a, you know, kind of a good route runner, a good dependable player for him. But, you know, they certainly have an element of speed with the, you know, Spiller, Goodwin, those kind of guys. But, you know, you look at guys like Chandler and, you know, Woods, Stevie Johnson, Fred Jackson, you know, I wouldn't say that those guys are, you know, in the elite speed category, but they're good football players. And they have other good qualities, whether it be quickness or, you know, playing strength or, you know, vision or just, you know, they're just good football players. So, I mean, I think they have a good complement of, weapons offensively, with certainly an element of speed. I mean, you know, you watch Spiller in the Atlanta game, you know, ripping off 80-yard runs, 50-yard runs. I mean, you know, he gets a little bit of space, and he can do a lot of damage. And, you know, Goodwin's had, I don't know, three or four touchdowns, you know, just running past the defense, you know, plus a couple of pass interference calls they've gotten on those type of plays. So, you know, you definitely got to respect it.
What kind of influence has Andre Carter made in the time that he's been here this season, and has it maybe extended beyond the football field at all?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, Andre Carter's got a great work ethic, and he's very professional. You know, I mean, he's the first one in the meeting, sitting in the first row, got his notebook open, you know, before anybody. You know, you would think he was a rookie free agent. You know, he's always ready to go. He trains very hard. He's a very well-conditioned athlete. Both from a stamina standpoint, but, you know, the strength and, you know, his overall body composition. I mean, he works very hard at physical training, the mental training. He's on top of his assignments, and he works well with his teammates, communicates well, very willing to help them out and, you know, watch film with them and all those kind of things. So, you know, if you never said a word to him and just watched what he does, you know, he'd be a great example, a great role model. And you can see why he's played 13 years in the league. You know, if you're an offensive player or something like that, where you weren't, you know, that involved with him. But if you, you know, played a similar position or an adjacent position and, you know, worked with him, you'd get a lot out of that too. He's, you know, he does a good job. And as I said, you can see why he's had such a good career in this league, because he's, you know, so committed to it. And he's a smart guy, works hard, he really cares. And I think that's certainly been a good influence on our team at the position he plays and all the other ones. It's good for the coaches too. You know, it's just a good guy to have on your team, good guy to be around.
Bill, just maybe a sort of leftover from Sunday, but sure applicable anyways. I know not every play, but it seems like a lot of times when you've got Steve and Devin in there at safety, maybe it's Devin more of a quote unquote free safety and Steve maybe more, you know, down safety, roll to the box. When you put Deron in there, when Devin came out, does the role shift at all, or are they kind of, you know, almost left-right safeties, or is it more like Deron takes over the role Devin was playing and Steve stuck with what he typically does?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, feel the way it's going now in the NFL, that the teams do so much formationing, and if they see that you have a pattern, like you want to be strong and free, then they just make you go the other way. They move the tight end, or they put you in slot, or they, you know, however they do it. However you do it, then they figure out a way to make you do it the other way around. So, you know, we've gone from day one kind of teaching left and right, and then we flip them so that, you know, you play right and left, but every, you know, if you're playing left and right, you're playing strong and free, and so that there's an interchangeability there. Now, you know, sometimes in a game we might have one guy do a little more of the other, but we can't count on that. You know, we can't count on, well, this guy is going to be doing this and that guy is going to be doing that, because if they just... In different formations, we'd have to make some kind of adjustment. You know, and sometimes if you check a defense, you go from one thing to another. Well, you're in one thing, and then when you check it, well, you're, I don't say out of position, but, you know, you have to flip responsibilities. So I think those guys are all comfortable with that. They've done each other's jobs. And like as you said, it may turn out with one guy doing a little more of one thing than another, but in the end, they have to be able to do both. And so... I think they're comfortable with that. I think we're comfortable with that.
How much of a challenge is it when you lose a day of preparation? And how much easier is it, if any, when the team you're preparing for is a division opponent that you know?
Well, you know, I think there's always advantages to, you know, playing teams that you're more familiar with. Of course, the more you know, the more you know, and the more you got to prepare for. So, you know, we're looking at literally, you know, 15 regular season games from Buffalo. Plus, you know, we did a ton of work on them in the opener from the preseason. And even going back offensively to Syracuse and going back defensively to the Jets defense. So, you know, we have way more information than we would be able to use in this game, or they would be able to use in this game. You know, they got, you know, we're looking at a couple thousand plays, and there's going to be, you know, 60 to 70 on each side of the ball. So, you know, it's an advantage and it's a curse. You know, and the opener is the same thing. You look at so much for the opener, and then you go into the opener, and again, it's whittled down to whatever the game plan is for that game, but you've your preparation is extended well beyond that. So, you know, we have a lot of information. We'll have to try to, you know, put our chips on certain numbers and, you know, play the percentages and know that there's also other things that they can do and they have done that we can't ignore, but we can't prepare for everything. We just got to, you know, wait and see how the game plays out. And if something becomes more of a featured thing, then we'll obviously have to adjust to it. But I'd say for the most part, you know, when you get to this point in the season, not too many things that are going to come up that you haven't dealt with already during the year. So I'd be surprised if they could throw a lot out there that we would say, oh my God, we've never seen that before, you know. But I mean, not saying it's easy, I'm just, you know, it's not like, okay, well, you know, well, here's, you know, we'll handle this the same way we handled it with, you know, some other team or some other situation. So, you know, same thing offensively. You know, I mean, the thing that I'd say is a little bit different about them is just their tempo. You know, we, like, Baltimore was a no-huddle team, but they weren't a fast no-huddle team. Buffalo is much more of a fast no-huddle team, similar to what we saw in training camp against Philadelphia. So, but again, we've seen that before. Obviously, we played them once earlier, but, you know, that's a little bit of a challenge, and that's, you know, not the easiest thing to simulate in practice because, you know, it's sometimes when you're running their plays, it's hard for your offense who's running their plays to do it at the tempo that they do it at. So that's not the easiest thing to simulate. And so our communication, our ability to, you know, get plays called, get them in, get them communicated, get them run properly, that'll be a challenge for us. You know, we'll work on it the best we can in practice, but I'm sure it'll be faster in the game than what we'll be able to do in practice. But you know, so those are some of the things we got to deal with.
When you're trying to decide where to put your chips and pare down what you're going to prepare for with all that information, is that where self-scouting, how you would attack your own defense and offense?
Yeah, I think you look at, sure, I mean, if there's something we've had a problem with and that's something that they do, then that's easy. Then, you know, why would they not do it? They have it. We've been hurt with it. I think the real question is, you know, when you've been hurt with something and they don't do it, then you're saying, okay, well, you know, do you think they would put this in? Because it's not something that they would normally do. And that's, you know, you could be defending a ghost because they haven't done it. But the other hand, you know, if you've been hurt with it, it's hard to ignore it and say, well, you know, why would they not try to do the same thing that somebody else is successful with? So, that self-scouting certainly plays a role into that. You know, on the other hand, I don't think, you know, any team at this point of the year is going to have been working on everything they've been worked on all the way through the year and just junk it. You know, they're going to do what they do and what they're familiar with. So, you know, we got to be able to stop that. But certainly anything that we've been hurt with that we know that is a core part of what they do, I mean, I'm sure we're going to get that. And it's just a question of what they want to add on to it. And a lot of times it'll be a complimentary play. You know, they're running the stretch play, and then, you know, now's the time for the reverse, you know, which maybe hasn't been shown a lot. So, you know, things like that. So we got to be ready for certain the complimentary plays to go with it, the boots, the reverses, the, you know, misdirection plays, the double moves, the, you know, things like that that would come off their, you know, a lot of their core plays. I mean, they've shown some of those anyway, but, you know, it's – I think that's, you know, definitely a part of it too. You know, the more you do something, whatever it is in your offense, you know, you run outs, you know, you got to start thinking sooner or later, okay, somebody's going to jump this, it's time to get the out and up, or, you know, so that's.
Why do you think your defense has been targeted so often on deep passes this season? It seems like it's more than most teams.
A lot less than it was last year, I'll tell you that. I don't know. I mean, you should ask the other teams about that. I don't know.
Your defense has also been good against those deep passes. Why do you think that might be?
I mean, we've certainly put a lot of time and work into it. You know, I mean, it could definitely be better, but it hasn't been anywhere close to the issue it was last year. So, thank God. So that's... You know, I mean, obviously the players, you know, they're doing a good job. But, you know, we spent a lot of time on it. We spent a lot of time on the deep part of the field because it's so critical. But, you know, hopefully we can continue to, you know, play fairly well back there because it's just so important. I mean, when it all happens in one play, then, you know, there's nothing else you can do. I mean, there's no chance of stopping in the red area. There's no, you know, it takes... takes a lot of other people out of the game too. I mean, you know, there's nothing a nose guard can do about a go pattern. There's nothing the inside linebacker, like those plays are so, they're so far beyond them that, you know, it kind of takes them out of the game. So, you know, when you're giving those up, that's below the line. Our below the line comments from last week, like we just can't play like that. But, you know, those guys that work hard, our safeties have good range back there. Our corners have played the ball pretty well. Haven't had a lot of pass interference calls. Even the ones that we've had, like the one in the Baltimore game, you know, I mean, it's a tough call. You know, there's some that are just obvious. They're flagrant. And, you know, and then there's other ones that are like, you know, it's a tough call. I mean, they had one too, but that's, you know, so it's kind of the way it goes. But I think overall our decision making and playing the ball in the secondary has been, you know, obviously a lot better than it was last year. Not that that would take a lot, but it has been better.
Final question?
Well, you would be of the Red Ryder BB gun era. Did you ever ask for a BB gun for Christmas?
Did I ever ask for a BB gun? No, I was never a big gun guy.
What was it that you had to have? Is there one thing that you absolutely wanted to
see? More sports stuff. Yeah.
New ball, new glove, new bat, new, yeah.
Starting projector?
It was back in the pre-projector days. So my dad started breaking down film. There was no projector, it was just a viewer. You know, the film went through the viewer and you wound it by hand and watched the film as it passed to the viewer. There was no projector. So, a projector was actually, that was a big step. You know, before and a 16 millimeter was a big step too, because the 8 millimeters, which are some, you know, like high school film and, you know, home movies and stuff like that, which, you know, the film would break like every two plays. I mean, it was ridiculous. Spend more time fixing the film than you did watching it, but. So the viewer was that was it until you actually had a projector. And it never failed. Yeah, this projector, as soon as you set the projector up, you start the team meeting and, you know, okay, here we go, fellas, let's start watching film, you know, the night before the game. There goes the bulb, you know. So it's, all right, hold on. Or if film breaks, you know, whatever it is, film breaks, bulb goes out, you know, projector freezes. And, all right, not so fast. How about you, Tom? What's on your list?
My kids don't pay any attention to this stuff, so I'll say I get the blocks and those because we're tired of them pummeling each other.
Good move. Yeah. Why don't you get the bag then? That way you hit the bag.
They all seem to want to punch other things other than themselves.
Got it.
Each other. So it's probably not going to work out that great. Get back by the end of the week.
Okay. All right. Well, happy holidays, everyone. All right. See you Thursday.